right, everybody, welcome to Separation Nation. We're getting deep on into some content here fairly quickly. We hope you're enjoying the content, and we're just really trying to get as much to you as possible. So we've got a couple of podcasts coming to you a week at this point. We hope you're enjoying it. We ask you to just like and share the content on social media when you see it pop up from time to time throughout the week. Of course, we're updating you, and you're getting automatic updates when you're subscribed to the particular podcast platform of your choice. And not to mention, too, we've got a lot of great content in the video versions of this podcast, Separation Nation, is going up on YouTube within a few days of the audio hitting. So just make sure and like us on both platforms, on video through YouTube. Subscribe, share that content if you feel like it's bringing any value to you. And do the same on the audio platform that you prefer and that you choose to enjoy the podcast on. So great things are happening. A lot of big, exciting plans, things that are going to be coinciding, new projects we've got coming out that you'll be seeing here within the next few months and the first of the year. A lot of big plans for 2020. Super excited. That being said, we're going to get on into the content today. And we've got an interesting topic. It's a little bit unusual topic, but I think we're going to have a lot of great things come out of it, and we're going to let John kind of kick it off.
Okay, so I had this idea, and I'll preface it with this. The title of this podcast is Separation Nation, and I want to revisit that often to kind of explain that, because just from first sight, you may say, well, what does Separation Nation even mean? You know, there's key separators that separate the average from the above average, the super achievers. Have you ever just saw a person that seems like they always succeed? No matter what they try, they always tend to be successful at it. Or you just see certain people that just run so far out in front of the pack, no matter what area or what field or you know, industry they're in. There's certain things that separate those people from everybody else. And we've spent years and years trying to determine these and study these. And while thinking about this, I got to thinking about a guy that both of us used to work out with. You've worked out with him more than I have. But it was fun to work out with him. He'd always push, he'd always go to another level. But he had a saying that I had no idea what he meant by it for years. But we would work out, and let's say you were on a treadmill. But first, let's set it up. Let's set up what it was like to work out with this guy. He had a home gym, small gym, had everything you needed, all the necessities, but it was small, and he always had the heater on. It could be 98 degrees outside, he'd have the heater on, because you were going to sweat while you worked out. You were going to take your shirt off. Sometimes you're in there barefooted, just your workout shorts on. And you're gonna give it everything you got, or he's going to ride you the entire time until you do. And when you really got to going, I remember one time doing a complete chest and tricep workout, I believe it was, probably an hour. I always said he overtrained, but I tell you, whatever, it worked. I mean, he was in great shape, and you would leave there, wake up the next day sore. So you get done training, overtraining, it's time for cardio. Get on the treadmill. You could set your pace on the treadmill, whatever you wanted to, but it wouldn't matter. He'd get off of his treadmill, come over there, pump you up to 10, and then put the incline all the way to the top, and then just look at you and smile. Go back to what he was doing, and then turn over and look at you, and he would say something like, "You think you're gonna die? Well, if you don't think you're gonna die, you probably ain't going hard enough," or whatever. And then I remember he'd make the statement, I'd be over there probably 45 minutes into cardio, and he'd say, "Okay, now you're doing something. Now you're going after that white buffalo." I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? But at that point, I couldn't really even talk. I'm just trying to get through it, and I don't know when we're going to quit, because we quit when he said we quit. That was part of him training you. You quit when he said you're going to quit. And he would always try to work out until you quit. Because he wants you to quit before he quits. So it was always just a test of who could go the furthest, who could endure the most. And then I'd always try to when I just couldn't go any further, I'd just quit. And then he'd laugh and go 10 more minutes and quit. That was what it's like to work out with him. But the saying I got from it, I remember one time we were working in Savannah, and we happened to be working together. And I lived, he was staying at a hotel probably about 10 minutes from the gym I worked out in. And I live probably 20 minutes from there. And he said, "Oh, we're going to meet, boy, 6 o'clock in the morning. Meet me at the treadmills in the gym." So I get up 6 o'clock in the morning. He's on treadmill, red bandana on. He's probably done been there 20 minutes. And we working out. I get on treadmill beside him. And I remember this statement he made. There was probably 10, 11 people working out. And he said, "See all these people? They just working out." He said, "You see that one right there?" And I looked over, and this guy's covered in sweat. He said he'd been running solid for an hour. He's going after that white buffalo. And I look at him, I think, what the hell is he talking about, going after the white buffalo? And then what I realized over the years is basically what he's saying is there's something that distinguishes people that are really serious, that are really doing it for results. Because here's the thing. You go to the gym. You've been working out all your life. I've worked out pretty much most of my adult life. You can go to the gym and the same guys are in there day after day, year after year, and they look the same. They never change. They're not in there for results. They're just in there because it's part of their daily routine. But they're not necessarily, as he would say, going after that white buffalo. And this is what I realized. White buffalo is something I've never seen. Most people's never seen. I did a little research and a little study, and there's a lot of spiritual undertones to that, you know, with Native Americans and different things. But the bottom line with the white buffalo is it's rare. You know, if you hunt buffalo, it's not a rare thing to go kill a brown buffalo. Matter of fact, we can go to Ted Turner's restaurant and eat all the brown buffalo we want to eat. But the rare thing is when a hunter would hunt and he would find that rare white buffalo, whether it was albino or whatever caused them to be white. So rare that I read a story where one of the presidents, I can't remember which president it was, I think it's maybe Roosevelt, actually offered to buy a white buffalo skin from a hunter, offered him $5,000 years and years and years ago. He wouldn't sell it, but that's how rare the skins from a white buffalo are. And so what it means to go after that white buffalo, and what he talked about was in working out, what it means is to go after results that other people aren't getting because they're not willing to do the things that they would have to do to find those results. A buffalo hunter may hunt 20 years before he even sees the elusive white buffalo, but he eventually finds it because he's willing to push himself out. He's willing to hunt deeper in the woods. He's willing to go further. He's willing to get up earlier, to work later, to hunt later. And the same thing with fitness, as he compared it to get the results that other people aren't getting, you're going to have to go further, work harder, and do the things that other people aren't willing to do. Be willing to pay the price today so you can pay any price tomorrow.
Well, the quality of your life directly correlates with how much uncertainty you can handle. And so what you find with a lot of people is they can't handle uncertainty. But everybody I know that's super successful, the ultra successful, people that I don't know but that I follow, that's one thing you always hear them talk about and you hear them say is being able to go long periods of time, being uncertain, being able, like we talked about on the last podcast, to just pull the trigger, to take action, to move in a direction, even if you're uncertain exactly how it's all going to play out, how it's going to work out, because you never know. When you're in a place of uncertainty, you may face rejection, you may face problems, you may face difficulties, all kind of unforeseen things on your way find that white buffalo, as we're saying today. But you got to understand that rejection is progress, and that progress is happiness, and that's what causes you to prosper. If you ultimately, what we all want out of life, the end result of a white buffalo or anything, is we want to be happy. We want to live a fulfilled life. We want to enjoy a high quality of life. And so that's what would push a person to be able to go and push themselves farther than they think they can even go possibly, and to take a step out, and to move out in faith, and to move towards something that they can't see, that's elusive, that some people might would even say doesn't exist. Because you always got the naysayers in your mind. You know, why are you going to spend all your time chasing this when there's, you know, 1,000 other perfectly regular brown buffaloes over here, and you can eat fine? But why would you put yourself through all that? Why would you take the extra time and the pain and the fear and go through the years like we know in starting a business where, you know, you're not sure if you're going to get a paycheck. Your people may eat before you do. All the stress, all the strife, all the sacrifice, because that's for success. If you're not sacrificing greatly, you're never going to experience great success. And if you want to double your rate of success in life, you have to double your rate of failure, of sacrifice, and you have to be willing to do the things, as you said, that other people won't, to eventually live like they don't or like they're unable to. So just the important thing to remember is the quality of your life is going to always directly correlate with how much uncertainty you can handle. And chasing a white buffalo, there's nothing more uncertain than that.
And, you know, I would, you know, getting back to, you know, had a lot of good times and dozens of other sayings, you know, that he would come up with and we just laugh about. But I will say this about this gentleman. He was insane when it came to the workouts. I mean, he was, I remember one time he told me we was on treadmill. He was on elliptical, I was on treadmill. And he said, John, you got to not be afraid to die on that treadmill. He said, you ain't going to die. And the thing about it is, and I know we're talking a lot about fitness on this, but it goes the same in life and in business. We have no idea the potential that we actually have inside of us. We have no idea the limits that we can actually push ourselves to. And further, I was kind of tell you a story to give you a good example on this. I got a 2019 Z71 Chevrolet truck, and brand new. I've got about 16,000 miles on it now. Light come on in my dash, said I needed air in my right front tire. And I can actually look on the app on my phone, and it tell me exactly the pounds of pressure that's in that, you know, in each tire or whatever. But I was in a hurry, and I wanted the light to go off. So I pulled into a station, actually it's a convenience store, and they had two air pumps. Well, they had an air pump here and a vacuum way over here. So I pulled in to the air pump, and there was a lady over at the vacuum out her car. And I put my money in the air pump, get down, I'm pumping up the tire, and then I'm thinking, well, I don't know how many pounds of pressure really do I need to put in the tire. So I said, well, I'll just put some air in it now, and then when I got more time, I'll actually check the pressure or whatever. So I'm putting air in the tire, and all of a sudden I hear a horn honking. And I'm like, okay, well, I just ignored it. So I keep putting air in the tire, and then I hear the horn honk again. And I'm thinking, why is this lady next to me honking? Is she honking at me? Who's she honking at? And then I kept going to air, and then I heard the horn honked, but it instead of it being one quick beep, it was like two. It was like a different sound, and I realized my truck, the horn was going off on my truck to let me know I had enough air in my tire. Blew my mind. And I'm like, you know, the technology in this. So I put the air up, I get in, and I just kind of laugh, and I'm thinking, well, the truck's smarter than me. It knows what it needs more than I do. And then the thought hit me, what ability does this vehicle have that I'll never even know? What are the things that this vehicle can do that I have no idea it can do? And then the thought hit me, what can I do? What can this vehicle that I live in, what can my mind do that I have no idea it can do? What can my body do that I have no idea it can do? What pressure can I handle that I have no idea I can handle? And that's where we are in life. We have no idea the limits that we can hit. You shared something with our managers the other day about breaking a goal. To break a limit or break a record. And it was basically, because we talk about goals, in a different podcast, and how in our business, in the financial industry, most of those goals are determined by a particular number. And in the message you sent out, it was a number that we've never hit. We've come very close many times. And what did you say? You said, let's break through this goal and let's let this ceiling become our new floor. Right. And that's what we do. Every time we push ourselves past the limits that we thought we had, whether it's if you're working out, when you get to a certain weight you've never lifted before, and then all of a sudden you can lift it, that's no longer the ceiling. That becomes the floor to the next goal. And we go from goal to goal to goal, limit to limit to limit. And we push ourselves past what we think we are capable. That's what chasing the white buffalo is all about, going to that level we've never been to because we didn't know we could get there. So many things we can do now in business, we do now that 10 years ago we'd never dreamed we'd be able to do because we had just never pushed ourselves past our limits. And so limits are created to be broken, and the ceilings become our new floors.
Well, I mean, that's the law of the universe. So if you want to dance on the ceiling, you got to break through it. But once you've broken through it, that is your new floor. That's your new place of stability. That's the new place to get to. but you're not meant to stay there. You know, that's so many people go through, they break through, and they plateau out. They say, well, I can imagine this much. I can imagine making $100,000 a year and not being under financial stress, but to think about $500,000, my goodness, you know. And I found myself having a tendency to do that, and I think big. I mean, I believe big. But then there's a certain huge level of big. I mean, so, you know, you get the Bill Gates big, my mind has a hard time comprehending some of those things. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't mean I can't dream for it. May never attain it. But like we've talked about before, you know, the loftier those dreams and goals are, and the more you're able to wrap your brain around, and the more you're able to program your thoughts with your past successes, with your future goals and dreams and where you want to be, then the more apt you are to reach them, because you can only receive what your mind will accept. And that's what you got to understand. You can only receive what your mind will accept. And you have to begin to program your mind and say, if I was able to do this, and I look back at this place that I'm at now, and this was just something, man, this was a dream to be where I'm at now. The things that I have today, you know, I used to pray for. And then you, from that place, approach your thought process from gratitude. Gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions. And when you become grateful for where you used to be to where you are today, then it helps create a pathway that opens up a door. Gratitude is the door that opens up your new path, the new place that you need to go to be able to go to the higher level. Because, I mean, another acronym for life that I use a lot of times is first we learn.
Right.
And then we implement. But after we've learned, look, most people learn. You know, people say knowledge is power. Let me tell you, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is simply the ability to have power when action is put behind it.
Right.
Action. You can't have power without movement. So we first learn, then we implement. We've talked about FTI on the podcast. The majority of the universe never takes action. It's a proven statistic that only 7% of the population ever actually take massive action and move towards things that they've dreamed of. 7%, that's it. So we learn, we implement, but then we fail. Okay? Now, when you fail, you got an option to either stop there. You know, failure's not final and it's not fatal. It's only fatal if you sit there and you give up and you throw your sucker in the mud. You say, well, I tried it. You know, screw that. It's not for me. It's for them over there, but it's not for me. But we learn, we implement. We fail, but then after that, the E, we evaluate. And if we'll stop and evaluate, okay, we learned this, we implemented it, I've failed. But now the failure is an opportunity for me to come back and begin again with more wisdom and with more intent and to tackle this thing, and I'm going to take what I learned. So we learn, we implement, we fail, and we evaluate, and it's the upward cycle of life. And every time we do that, even though we've fallen, we're at a higher level than we were the last time that we went through the process of learn, implement, fail, and evaluate. And that's what it's all about. So at the end of the day, I mean, you can only receive what your mind will accept. Thoughts are things. It has to begin in your mind, because abundance begins in the quality of your thoughts. And whatever you think about, you'll manifest. So the white buffalo, if that's the, you know, the six pack that you've never had, if that's your thing, or if it's just, you know, being healthy and being fit whenever you might have struggled for years and years of being overweight or being unhealthy. Maybe it's making $500,000 a year. Maybe it's owning your own business and being financially independent and self-sufficient and stable in your life for the first. Whatever the white buffalo is that you visualize that it is for you, you got to understand it begins in the quality of your thoughts. And that may sound frou-frou, but that is the absolute truth. It begins there.
Well, what you think about is what you bring about. And back to the point you made with life, the first steps to learn. I love what you said. Knowledge is not power. It absolutely is not. How many people do we know that they paralysis by analysis?
Right.
I mean, they're paralyzed. All they do is learn. All they do is read. All they do is study. But what does it matter if you know the field manual frontwards and backwards, but you never go on, you never start the mission? And there's so many people stuck there. They want to learn. They got to be perfect. They got to have it all together. They got to have a 12-step plan. They got to have a program. They got to know when to get from point A to point B. How do they get to C? And successful people do not care about C, D, E, and F. They go from A to B as quick as they can get there, and then they'll figure out the rest later. But we're going to step, and we're going to implement, like you said, what does Steve Harvey call it? You got to jump. You got to jump. You got to take that leap. And all the rest you'll figure it out, because you said you don't quit learning. Just because you start implementing don't mean you quit learning, because when you get to failure, you're going to sit back and you're gonna look at this and you say, okay, I started learning, but I need to learn a little bit more. And we repeat that cycle over and over and over and over again. And when we talk about the white buffalo, this elusive, mystical creature that we're after in life, business, whatever, whether it's, you know, we could call it the unicorn, you know, these unicorns right. exist. Well, there's certain people that compete, and there's certain people that dominate. There's certain businesses that compete, there's certain businesses that dominate. If you've got a competition mindset, then what you're doing is you're looking at everybody else in your field and you're trying to run with them.
Why would you want to be the competition when you can crush the competition?
There you go. So to go from a competition mindset to a domination mindset, you quit looking at the things that they are doing. Hopefully you're already doing the things they're doing that's making them successful, and you start looking for the things they're not doing or they're not willing to do. And that's what takes you from competition to domination. Maybe they're not willing to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Maybe they're not willing to work the extra hours. Maybe they're not willing to work a weekend. Maybe they're not willing to skip the golf course. Maybe they're not willing to, you know, to go to the seminars, to go to the conferences. Maybe they're not willing to read the books. Whatever it is, to go from that place of competition where you're just trying to compete, just kind of do what everybody else in your field is doing, to domination, we got to figure out what you're willing to do, what I'm willing to do, that they are not willing to do. And that's what separates us from the pack, and that's what takes us on our journey to the white buffalo.
And I'll tell you one thing too that's toxic is, you know, you can look at your competition. It's not easy at a glance. If you're skilled at all and know what you're doing in your particular field of endeavor, and you know what it takes, and you know how to put in the work, and you're out there taking massive action every day, it doesn't take but a slight glance to look occasionally and see what people aren't doing. And a glance is about all I ever give my competition. And to be honest with you, the only time I really ever give it a glance is when it gets shoved in my face, you know.
Well, when people bring it to you and say, look,
yeah,
look at
well,
this.
I get
Did you see this website? Did you see
Did
this
you
post?
See this?
Yeah.
Or look at this screenshot of what so-and-so posted. I really don't give a damn, because at the end of the day, I know what I'm capable of doing. I know what we're doing. The worst mistake you can make when you're running a race is to look over your shoulder, especially when you're on that last stretch
Absolutely.
To the finish line. That's the worst mistake you can make. I'm not giving any attention, but I know a lot of people that become obsessed with their competition. They spend all this time studying everything. When you're doing that, that just took you off of offense and put you back on defense. There ought to be a little defense in life, maybe 25-30%. But 75% of that time, for the most part, you need to be on offense. You need to be moving forward strategically and just focusing on running your own corporation, running your own endeavor. I mean, those people are going to do what they're going to do. And this thing in life and in business or whatever your white buffalo is or whatever you're going towards, you got to understand that this thing is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And let me tell you this, some people might even move ahead of you from time to time. But again, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And some people just, they get obsessed with how fast they run. And one thing I say a lot is, you know, you can run fast, but fast don't last. If you want to run far, you run as a team.
That's right.
And you have people around you that's like-minded, that are loyal, which is a rare thing nowadays. And you just take the people that you know you can build with, and you move forward, and you begin to reproduce yourself in other people. And you sincerely care about other people, people on your team, because you can have everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. And it's about bringing people with you on this trip, on this voyage to the white buffalo. It's about bringing folks with you. It's about being significant, not just being successful and saying, okay, I'm going up. I'm going to tackle this thing. I'm going to take down this white buffalo. But let me tell you something. I'm going to take some people with me. We're going to all crack the bottle open and cheers over the campfire that night when this thing's laying there and ready to be mounted on the wall. And that's the beauty of teamwork. That's teamwork makes not your dream work. Teamwork makes not the dream work, but it makes your dream work. And that's right. What people don't understand. And so it's very important that when you're on the path to go take down a white buffalo, to take down whatever it is that your dream, your goal is, the thing that you want to attain, you got to know you're going to attain it. You got to first declare in your mind, this is what I'm going to do, hell or high water. And you don't have to have it all figured out, because when you're on the path, everything that you need will come to you along the way. But you can't sit in the classroom and learn about the white buffalo all day, taking us back to the knowledge is power thing. You can't sit there and learn about it in that incubated. That the classroom is where you get a little bit of knowledge, but your real education begins when you step outside the door. And when you step outside that door and you start moving forward, everything you need along the way, as long as you're moving forward trajectory, everything you need along the way is going to come to you as you need it when you put yourself out there. But you have to put yourself out there.
And the problem with the classroom is most of the time we're being taught by people who don't even know if the white buffalo even exists. I mean, they're just repeating what's been repeated to them. And, you know, what you're talking about is endurance. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Marathon runners may not be the fastest runners, but they can keep a steady pace. And that is the key to the entire deal. Stay steady, keep your pace, and have endurance. If you can endure, and here's the thing, we can all endure more than we thought. Just like running, if you get up, you say, I'm going to run 5 miles. The fifth mile is not the hardest mile. Fourth mile is not the hardest mile. First mile is the hardest mile. If you can get past that first mile, might even have to get past the first 2 miles. But once you get past that first 1 or 2 miles, your body says, okay, he ain't stopping, so I'm going to get in line. You always hear people working out, they say, you got to listen to your body. If you don't overdo it, don't overtrain, don't overextend yourself, listen to your body. And I agree with that to a certain extent. Yes, listen to your body. But if I didn't work out because I was sore, I'd never work out. Sometimes my body's going to have to listen to me. Sometimes I'm going to have to be the master of my body. Three things that I just kind of jotted down this morning. And when we do these podcasts, I mean, we don't put a lot of notes together and a lot of preparation. We want to just come. You know, what comes out from all the years that we've been doing this. But three things that we have to have that I wrote down. We got to have discipline. What is discipline? Discipline is saying, I'm going to do it, whether I feel like it, whether I want to or not. This is what I'm going to do, and you get it done. You got to have sacrifice. You got to be willing to sacrifice. Like I said, to go from competition to domination, you got to be able to look at the things, not that your competition are doing, but the things that they are not doing. And the big things are, what are they not willing to sacrifice to get to that point that you are willing to sacrifice? Because listen, if you don't sacrifice certain things in your life, you'll never truly be successful to the level that you could. And what I mean by sacrifice doesn't mean we don't live a fulfilled life. Doesn't mean we don't live a life of joy. But sometimes in the short run, you have to make sacrifices so that at the end of the road, you don't have to make so many sacrifices, because you're going to sacrifice. You're going to either do it now or you're going to do it later. I would rather sacrifice now to get to the point to where I didn't have to sacrifice later. And what I mean by that is I may have to get up early for the next 20 years. I may have to work later the next 20 years. I may have to work weekends. I may have to skip some vacations. I may have to, you know, give up some things. I know in my life, I made a decision. You made this decision. A lot of people listening, we've made this decision. We don't want a normal life. We don't want the life of the average Joe. Nothing against that life. If that's what he chooses, that's fine. But if we want the life we want, if we want to have the life that we choose, then we're going to have to choose to give up some things. I thought about this last night. 10:30, I'm on my back deck, drinking my BCA, smoking my cigar. You said, how in the world does that go well together? Well, you know,
it's not a good period.
It's not very sophisticated. But it's a vice that doesn't keep me from it. It allows me to still get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and not
That's
have a headache.
Branch chain amino acids for those of you that don't know.
So I'm drinking my recovery drink and I'm trying to get the rest of my water for the day, because I try to drink a gallon of water a day, and normally I drink half of that within 3 hours before I go to bed and get up having to pee 3 times. But
But anyway, so I'm getting the water in me, I'm getting a branch chain amino acids, I'm smoking a cigar, and I'm working. And I thought about this. When was the last time I sat down and watched a movie? When was the last time I sat down and watched a television show? Nothing wrong with those things. Not wrong. I know we went to the movies the other day and watched The Joker, great movie. But then that was the first movie I'd been to the theater to watch since The Lion King. Because now I got kids, so the only time I get to go to the movies is if it's The Lion King or Beauty and the Beast or something like that. But there's certain things I've decided that I'm going to give up and not do that a lot of people do, most people do. So watching Come In Sunday, getting ready to go work out, had a 2 o'clock class. So I sat down at 12:30. My wife and I was eating lunch, turned the TV on, watched the Atlanta Falcons. If you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, it's a rough year for you. And I got to thinking how I never would miss a game. I would plan my Sunday around football, and I would spend 2, 3, 4 hours at a time, and nothing wrong with that. If that's your deal, that's your deal. If that's how you relax and that's what you enjoy, great. But I remember a point in my life, probably about 5 years ago, I gave that passion up because that passion was not as important as the other passions in my life. And I knew that I was going to have to sacrifice some things to have the things that I want at the end of it all. So I've given up certain things. I talked about how I live on a golf course. I hadn't played golf in probably a year because I can't take 5 hours out of my Friday and sacrifice my passions for that passion. Not that I don't love it. I do love it. But there's certain things that I've got to sacrifice to get to the point that I want to be. If I want to catch that white buffalo, that's what I'm going to have to do. And I know this. When I'm doing it and we're working the extra hours and we're burning the candle at both ends and we're overextending ourselves. That's another thing you hear people say. Don't overextend yourself now.
Don't do too much.
You can't reach your limits and pass those limits if you don't overextend yourself. You've got to overextend yourself. And now the things that used to would have made me feel overextended, I get that done by 9 o'clock every day because we push ourselves. We have no idea what we're capable of. That's why we got to push ourselves and continue to push ourselves. So we need discipline. We need to make sacrifices, and we need endurance. It doesn't matter what you do for 6 months. It matters what you do for 6 years. It don't matter what you do on Tuesday. It matters what you do today. It matters what you do every single day. Successful people are willing to do daily what unsuccessful do from time to time. Now and then, you say that a whole lot better than I do. But we have to have that, be willing to endure. A lot of our competition, we just outlasted them. We're still doing it. We didn't quit because it's not a choice anymore. We got to get it done. We got too much skin in the game not to succeed. When we hit a bump, when we get to a dead end, we just go around. We do whatever we got to do. When we run out of road, we make more road. We blaze the trail. We do whatever we got to do to succeed and to win. And no matter what or how long it takes, we're going to find the white buffalo.